Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here with you on CBS Sports Radio. On the line, we have a New York Times best-selling author, and for all of my sport fans out there, he just released a book, The Three Ring Circus, Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the Crazy Years of the Lakers Dynasty. We have Jeff Perman on the line. Jeff, how are you?
I'm eating eggs and I'm talking to you, so I'm pretty good.
I appreciate you, Jeff. Thanks for taking the time to hop on. For anyone who has not yet heard about this book, which I have seen excerpts of, go ahead and fill them in. What can they look forward to?
Well, it's really a biography of the 96-04 Lakers. So it's the Shaq, Kobe, Phil dynasty. I wrote it before Kobe Bryant's death in January. So it's, you know, in a way for good and for bad. It's sort of a look at their development together and the development of that dynasty and sort of the highs and lows of the building of a franchise.
And we certainly see the highs and lows that any franchise can go through. The Lakers, obviously, being one of the glamour organizations in the NBA, we see how they're able to attract talent and bounce back right now. What was the most interesting element that you observed and learned about between the relationship between both Kobe and Shaq? Obviously, two of the greatest ever and extremely driven.
I just think it's interesting that they, the whole thing about chemistry in sports and how we need a locker room that's cohesive. And like sometimes having the two most talented guys actually just is better than any of that. And they weren't friends and they didn't get along and they had fights and they had arguments. And Kobe had no interest in being Shaq's little buddy or his little brother. He didn't want to be Robin to Batman. And Shaq really wanted that and probably needed that to a certain degree. But at the end of the day, they were the two, I mean, you can make the argument they were the two best players at one point while playing together in the NBA, and talent generally topples everything else. So they were able to overcome any differences just because they were so much better.
All right, we're chatting it up with Jeff Perlman, author of Three Ring Circus, Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the Crazy Years of the Lakers Dynasty. We know what Phil Jackson did for the Chicago Bulls. Did he go ahead and apply that same formula to managing the personalities on the Lakers?
It was a little different because when he was with the Lakers, you know, he shows up in Chicago or he gets a job in Chicago and he is the, you know, the longtime assistant coach and he has Michael Jordan and Michael Jordan has had all these years of scoring a lot of points but not winning. And he says to Jordan, look, we have this system and if you buy in, you'll score fewer points, but we have a shot of being really good. And Jordan buys in. He comes to L.A. and he says, Shaq, you're the centerpiece of this offense. Shaq says, great. Says, Kobe, you're the number two guy in this offense. Kobe says, but the system was so good and the talent was so good, it was okay. But it was always a fight to get Kobe to buy in, to stay within the system, not to shoot 30 times a game, not to want to dunk over Vince Carter, not to have to prove his dominance. And it was an ongoing thing. He never had that with Jordan. Like, Jordan bought in early, knew he was the centerpiece and was happy with it. And Kobe always struggled with that. So it was a big difference.
Well, Jeff, when we think about that Lakers dynasty and the three titles they were able to procure, what could have been and what would have been if these two simply at that point in time had gotten along?
See, I don't think it could have happened. Like that last season, 03-04, they lost to Detroit in the NBA Finals in five games. And that season alone, the Lakers brought in Gary Payton and Karl Malone to mixed results. Phil Jackson wanted a contract extension, wasn't getting it. Shaq wanted a contract extension, wasn't getting it. Kobe was 1 foot out the door going to the Clippers while flying in and out from Eagle, Colorado for his sexual assault hearings. He had no interest whatsoever in playing with Shaq anymore. Like, none. It was over. If Shaq was returning, Kobe was leaving to the Clippers. So there are just so many things that would have had to happen for them to even stay together or want to stay together that to say, oh, they could have won blank, Like, they couldn't have, because there was too much animosity at that point. It just wasn't going to happen.
Jeff Perlman is chatting it up with us. New York Times bestselling author, Three Ring Circus, Kobe, Shaq, and Phil. When we think about the Lakers, we obviously have seen what has occurred now. LeBron James and Anthony Davis, the team looks like they might be moving towards another title. You mentioned at one point in time Kobe looking into moving over to the Los Angeles Clippers. We see how important chemistry is. We just heard it last week after Paul George was eliminated. How important is that chemistry? Is it underrated in your perspective when we look at team sports?
No, I think it's overrated. I think you need to have some on-court chemistry. I think what you really need, at least what I learned from this book, your stars don't have to get along if you have veterans in a locker room who can handle it. So you look back then, Shaq and Kobe didn't get along. But then you have Rick Fox, you have Robert Horry, you have Brian Shaw, you have guys like Derek Harper and J.R. Reed, different veterans. So I guess what I'm trying to say is chemistry isn't dictated by the stars all the time. It's usually dictated by the veterans. And Phil Jackson was really smart about that. Like, this, you guys have to handle this clubhouse. It's not my responsibility to babysit you every day. It's up to you guys. So if someone needed to tell Shaq to calm down or tell Kobe to stop hogging the ball, you knew a veteran was going to do it. These Lakers, the LeBron AD Lakers, clearly do have very good chemistry, and it certainly doesn't hurt. I just don't think it's a necessity.
All right, well, we certainly see that. We've seen guys fighting it out, but can get out on the court, get on the field, and get it done. Jeff, as you were putting this book together, obviously we know Kobe Bryant unfortunately passed earlier this year. Were there any moments that you look back on or were more introspective about looking at the totality now of this man's life?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what I think is really beautiful about Kobe Bryant and what I think should be spoken about more, like, the period I wrote about, he was a pain, and he was difficult, and he was ordinary, and he was kind of self-absorbed. But he didn't stay on that path. And if you look at him, especially after he got injured and after his career was coming to an end, he just really grew up, and he started to mature. And then he has four daughters, and then he gets involved in youth coaching, and he kind of becomes this philanthropist in many ways. And it just changed him. And I really mean this. I think the best thing that happened to Kobe Bryant as a human being was getting injured later in his career and sort of starting to think about life outside of basketball. And I think most athletes have a moment or two where they're like, you know what? This isn't the most important thing in my life. Like, there are other things in my life that are more important than this. And it's time for me to devote myself to those. And I just think he did that. And it was really important.
It was a beautiful thing to see. I had quite a few interactions with Kobe towards the end of his career, and then also work with Shaq over at NBA TV. And it's interesting when you have a conversation with these greats behind the scenes that isn't in front of the camera. And when you think about the legacy of Shaquille O'Neal and what he meant to the Lakers, what are your thoughts there? What did you unearth while you put this book together, Jeff?
All right, so two things I would say. Number one, he's the best superstar teammate who's ever lived. And what I mean by that is you have role players who are great, and you'll have, you know, guys who are 12th men and they're awesome. Superstars are judged at a different level, and they have different responsibilities, and a lot of them aren't very good at it. Shaq was the guy, like, they had a guard named Mike Penberthy who made the team in 2000-2001. He shows up at a master's college, just a free agent nobody, and his first road trip, he's wearing a suit jacket he bought at Banana Republic off the rack. And Shaq says to him, do you own any suits? Not maliciously, actually asking, do you own any suits? And Pemberthy says, nah, I actually don't. Shaq says, come back tomorrow. He shows up the next day. Shaq's personal tailor is there. And Shaq pays for six suits for Mike Pemberthy. When Mike Pemberthy's father died, Shaq offered to pay for the funeral. Mark Madsen, when he was a young Laker, was a Mormon. So very devoutly religious, coming off of a mission to Spain. If you go about 20 years earlier, when A.C. Green came to the Lakers out of Oregon State as a very famous virgin, he was mocked and ridiculed by his teammates. Yeah. Well, Mark Madsen shows up, and Shaq becomes his one-man MormonMatch.com service, where whenever they're walking by women or ever a flight attendant walks by, hey, are you Mormon? Are you Mormon? This is Mark. You'd like it. Are you Mormon? He just had this huge, huge heart about him. Huge, like the biggest I've seen in an athlete. And the one thing I think is a little disappointing, I really mean this, I think people have they don't think about him as they should. I feel like a lot of people go from Magic Bird to Jordan to Kobe to LeBron. And there was an 8-9 year period where Shaquille O'Neal was an absolutely unstoppable NBA force.
Correct.
And if people overlook him, they're really missing out on a legacy that should be much, much, much bigger than it probably is.
I agree with you. We're chatting up with Jeff Perlman, New York Times bestselling author. Go get Three Ring Circus. Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the crazy years of the Lakers dynasty. Jeff, before I let you go, you had years or time to examine this last Lakers dynasty. We know the Lakers were able to pick up two more at the end of Kobe's career approximately 10 years ago. And now we have LeBron James. From all indications and what you've been able to learn and study and read and interview folks about, how does LeBron James potentially fit in to this Lakers organization and the comparisons to what could be?
All right, so I'm not a I did not grow up a Laker fan, and I moved to the West Coast 6 years ago, so I'm not I carry no bias into this argument whatsoever. I think at the end of the day, people are going to remember, in particular if the Lakers win this season, as a pretty miraculous run, considering the pandemic, playing in the bubble, just everything about it, Kobe dying, and they will always hold LeBron in very high esteem. The difference is Shaq, except for, you know, he started 4 years in Orlando, but was a Laker for this amazing long run. Kobe drafted a Laker, retired a Laker. I just think generally LeBron James goes down as a Cleveland Cavalier who had a really good run in L.A. and will always be loved and respected in L.A. I just can't imagine. I was here when Kobe died and the outpouring and the emotion and the hurt, just the raw hurt that people felt. I've never experienced anything like that with an athlete's passing. So I just think Kobe reached a level that I don't think LeBron will be able to. And I think LeBron probably knows that too and isn't bothered by that. It's just the reality.
It's just the reality. Well, Jeff, thank you for taking the time to hop on as you talk about Three Ring Circus, Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the crazy years of the Lakers dynasty. Where can people pick up the book and where can people follow you?
It's everywhere, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever local books, you know, your local bookstores. And I'm on Twitter at Jeff Perlman, and jeffperlman.com is my website.
Well, we've been chatting up with Jeff Perlman. Thanks for taking the time. You are listening to the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.